Hello and welcome to the Daktronics Experience Podcast. I'm Justin Oxner. In this episode, Matt Anderson sat down with Mike Dusnap, the game day producer for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Mike was in Brookings for the NFL football user group, and he talked to Matt about producing games at the professional level, how it differs from production at the college level, as well as working with Daktronics equipment and more.
All right, we are here today with Mike Dusnap from the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Welcome, Mike.
Thank you for having me.
You bet, man. Could you tell our listeners a little bit about your role with the Tampa Bay Bucs and what exactly you do?
Yeah, so I'm the game day producer for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Basically produce all their home games, manage their control room. We have a couple other people on staff, Dan Roy and Greg Mays, that help get all the content ready and certainly the show. And then again, we put the show on Sundays. So,
okay. And so coming up from Tampa, when exactly did you get into Brookings, South Dakota here this week? And what was that difference like for you?
Yeah. So we flew in on, Monday afternoon, and we left Tampa. I think it was 87 degrees and we got here and it was, I think I looked at my phone, it was 0 degrees with wind chill of like negative 10 or 15 or something. So It was quite the difference. It was a little shock to the system.
Yep. I think it was Sunday when I went out to snow blow my driveway. It was negative 36 wind chill at the time.
Wow.
But it's probably one of the coldest winters I can remember up here. So when I heard the NFL user group was coming up here this week, I felt kind of bad. So I was looking who was coming from where. And of course, see you coming up from Tampa Bay. I immediately, I wouldn't say felt bad for you, but was a little concerned.
Yeah, it was a lot of snow, too. I was really impressed. A lot of snow.
Yeah, that's also, I think it's been more snow this year than a long time. And I'm not sure when you head out this week, but apparently this weekend we might get another 5 to 10 inches
in here. Oh, wow. We're out before then.
Yeah, it's coming Saturday, so just get out of Brookings before then. So you've been with the Tampa Bay Bucs for how many years now?
I've been with them. This is my fourth season coming up. When I first got hired, we installed brand-new Daktronics displays. We have two giant displays in our north and south end zone, and then we also have these giant tower wall displays, and then some ribbons, which I think are like 6 feet tall, which is awesome. And then we installed a brand new control room. So it was kind of a mass overhaul of the system and coming in just really trying to rebuild a show.
Yeah, and so that was the first year you were there, was the first year of all that equipment?
Yep, yeah, it was 2016.
And we can get a little bit more into your background here in a little bit, but you've had background event production. How was it like going to a new team? It almost sounds like double work, having to start over with a team, working with them, and then also with brand new displays and equipment.
Yeah, it was pretty challenging. I actually got hired right when I was getting married. So,
okay.
Right
when I got going on.
Yeah, and I was traveling back and forth from, I was at the University of Georgia prior, and I was driving back and forth on the weekends to kind of go plan our honeymoon and our wedding. And then we went off to Jamaica, and I came back. I think we had maybe a month before the season started. So it was definitely, a shock to the system trying to figure out, like, my surroundings and who was on the crew and, even just the content. I think they were building content before I even got hired. So what that content was, how we were going to put on a show, and then coming from college to NFL, certainly learning a whole new system, new breaks, new rules and all that stuff you have to follow. So it was a pretty big grind. It was a lot of late nights for sure.
Yeah. I was going to say getting used to everything, getting ready for the new displays that were there. Sometimes we hear from customers, the first year that they get our displays, new equipment, it's mainly just kind of making sure they're comfortable with it. And then years after that, they slowly build on it and kind of, I wouldn't say experiment, but try new things, whether it's promotions, different layouts. When you got there, just having experience with Daktronics equipment, was it that same way that first year? Or did you kind of feel comfortable to start toying with things?
Yeah, so I would say probably coming into my fourth season, a lot of the stuff we did in that first year, we're not doing anymore. So, okay. And it was cool. We tried a lot of different things. We had a mascot running around the stadium and jumping from display to display and doing these kind of crazy, wacky things and just trying to figure out how to use our towers and main displays. And then we realized, okay, we need to really build a foundation first. So the core of the show, like getting into gameplay, replays, crowd prompts. Mm-hmm. So I believe, now we finally built that foundation. Certainly we're building on it now. So it's been kind of a fresh breath, like knowing that we have a system in place, not coming in into like a fresh start every season. So
absolutely. And you mentioned the towers that are on the sides, and that's, I'd say, something unique with the Bucs, right? In most stadiums, there's a main video board on each end zone. You have your windows for stats, in-game information, advertising, live video. How do you guys use those tower displays along with the main video that's right there?
Yeah, it's awesome. It gives us a whole nother experience on the outside away from the video board. So in-game, we have out-of-town scores. It's an entire display just dedicated to out-of-town scores. with those out-of-town scores. You know, we have drive lines. They flip. They show who scores plays. You know, they flash if, you know, someone's in the red zone. And then our other display we use a lot for fantasy. So fantasy football is huge. I want to make sure people can, you know, follow along, know who's leading the day, the season, whatever. And there's a lot of our messaging. In-game, we do a lot of really cool things like triple replay. So we actually have, I think, two or four cameras dedicated to shoot iPhone style.
Oh, okay.
And so when we go to, like, a big moment, if we, you know, score a touchdown or a big first down, we'll put a couple different replays in the towers to kind of match our main display. And then we also use them for other live video features, like we do under review. We put both coaches on the towers and kind of put them in the hot seat.
Okay.
Which is cool to kind of see what they're doing on the sideline. I'm trying to think if there's anything else that we do specifically for the towers. But it gives us a whole nother experience. And we do a full takeover, too. So we do a giant ship battle, and we use the towers in the main as a full canvas. So
okay.
They're close enough to see it as a full canvas, but they're also just far enough away to kind of have almost like an A and a B show during our game. So
that's cool. Yeah, the iPhone way is a great way to put it, because it's one of those – people are definitely used to seeing video kind of up and down and narrow like that.
Yeah, so we do some other things too. We use a lot of social wall. You know, you use your cell phone, you take selfies. We actually take the whole tower wall up with a giant selfie. So if you get lucky enough to get on our display, it's not just a small little box. It's a full tower wall of your photo with your kid or your loved one. So I think the fans really get a good experience from that.
I was going to say, that's obviously a way to encourage fans to want to keep doing that, is where they're not just that tiny box on the display. They actually fill up the whole thing.
We get quite a few tweets and posts throughout the game, so it's hard to get everybody up there. But again, it's running the whole game. So I don't know exactly how many photos get up there, but I'd have to say almost 100 per game, just because they're in a rotation. So you have a pretty good chance of getting on the screen.
Nice. Yeah, there's we monitor our social media feeds back here anytime somebody uses different terms like Jumbotron, video display, and it's always funny seeing the amount of people that take a picture of the picture they took of themselves on the video display to say, I made it on the video board. And so it's just like a mirror picture and a picture type thing. It's kind of funny. So we were talking about you at the Bucks right now. We've kind of mentioned that you had some history with college. So maybe Quentin Tarantino this. We start with the end and go back to the beginning here.
Sure.
Tell me a little bit about, where did you first start, I guess, with event production? Was it before the college level, or how did you get started?
So I got lucky. I was in school at Wisconsin, and I met Steve Ackerman, who works for Dectronix as well. I actually did a demo reel when I was in college about the video boards going in the Kohl Center. And I got lucky enough to go interview, I think it wasn't their athletic director, but a guy that maybe was their marketing guy at Wisconsin. Okay. And so we did a demo reel, and I worked on that. And at the end of it, I took a copy of that and just delivered it to Wisconsin saying, thank you for your time. You let me come in and interview. And somehow that video highlight reel ended up in Steve Ackerman's hands. And I was working at a Staples in Portage, Wisconsin. And I got a phone call one day like, hey, would you be interested working on our live events, production, whatever? And ever since that moment, I just fell in love with it, the adrenaline from live events. And then Steve was really nice to give me the opportunity to do replay and direct and TDs, camera. So I kind of learned all the different aspects of production, which was really important, because obviously once I got to be a producer or director, knowing what to expect from people, but then also know what they can't do. You know, cameras can't run across the field and whatever. So so that's kind of where I started. And then from Wisconsin, I got lucky enough to get hired by Dectronix full time.
Okay.
And I went to the University of Georgia, and I was there for 11 years. So there's a long time there, but I enjoyed every minute of it. And then it was, I think, 9 sports. So we covered every athletic event across campus. My last 5 years there, we eventually built a centralized location for a control room, ran fiber across campus, and we weren't having to run all over the place. Most of our productions were coming out of our football stadium. But yeah, it was a lot of good times at Georgia.
Awesome, yeah. And we were talking a little bit before we got started here. I think that was the first time I met you, is when you were down at Georgia, and I was going around visiting control rooms that we do for Dectronix and event production. And there was the, I think I still have the shirt, but it was the Dominique Wilkins night for basketball that night. So we went around, they were giving out everyone the Georgia number 21 red t-shirts.
Yeah, everybody loves a free t-shirt.
Yep, I think it's been a long time since I was down there, but I still have it. I think it's one of my painting shirts now when I'm facing my basement.
I got quite a few Georgia giveaway t-shirts in my closet.
So you mentioned all the different events you did at Georgia, right? You said, 9 different sports?
Yeah, we covered everything from, I think the start of the season was women's soccer, women's volleyball. We did football, obviously, is the big one at Georgia. Men's and women's basketball, gymnastics. And then the spring hit, and you're doing baseball and softball. Right before I left, we were starting to do some other sports. Like we did tennis a little bit.
Okay.
But it certainly, I saw it expanding. My last 2 years, I was lucky enough to do SEC Network Productions.
Oh.
So it kind of opened up my, I guess, vision, not just for video boards, but for producing for TV.
Yep.
You know, so I was producing ESPN broadcasts for SEC Network and learning a lot of different things from that. And then I was taking those ideas and elements into our video board show. So we still do a lot of that stuff with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers where we're trying to kind of bring that broadcast without having talent to the video boards and, you know, kind of crossing the two worlds, live television and live video board production. So,
yeah. Did you ever have to help out with any other events on campus? I got to imagine like graduations is probably a
Yeah, we did. I did quite a few graduations while I was there. Yeah, anything that came through the Coliseum, especially at Georgia, we pretty much covered. But yeah, high school graduate, even the UGA graduations were big. Mm-hmm. I remember we had them at the football stadium.
Okay.
And they would put, you know, they would do it on the field, build a big stage, and they would usually have a pretty big guest speaker. So I saw quite a few different people come through there. And Georgia has a great alumni, so they had a lot of people come back for those.
I was thinking with lately, you know, there's been a big surge, I would say, esports. But I remember back in the time there was, I think you guys used to do Madden tournaments. I thought I remember one year you guys did. The students got to come out and sit in this in the football stadium and play Madden on the big video board. Is that?
Yeah, I don't know if we ever actually launched it in game because we didn't know how that would go. But we did definitely hook a PlayStation up a couple times when we were up in the control room late and played Madden on the screens and stuff. And it was a lot of fun. So
you're into esports before it was even really cool.
Yeah, right. We started it.
Yeah. So you talk about all these different events, different sports you help out with at the University of Georgia. So if we look from when you went from there to the Tampa Bay Bucks, how was that transition like to go from a college-type scenario where there's a lot of different teams, a lot of different events, and then go to a professional football team?
Well, the big difference, we went from like 200 and some events to, you know, 10 home games a year. But I do feel like those 10 home game a year are like, you know, the Super Bowl every game. So we certainly bring everything we got for those 10 home games. You know, there was a lot of different rule changes, you know, what I could and couldn't do. And I kind of fell into a different role. I was, you know, producing events at Georgia, but we had lots of other people. Like, you know, I was in a control room that I couldn't see the football field at Georgia.
Okay.
And when I got to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, I'm front and center. I can look out, but now I can't see the control room behind me. So my vision had to change a little bit. You know, I wasn't looking at the monitor wall and, like, the operators in front of me. I had to trust them that they were doing the things they were doing behind me, and I was watching the action on the field to basically, you know, notify them, like, we're taking a break or, you know, we're coming back from break. So it was a good change, but it was challenging at first because I really didn't know, like, I was just so used to being in a closed environment and not seeing the field and just really focusing on the monitor wall to having all those distractions in front of me and having to really focus on what it is I needed to be looking for.
Yeah, I think it's just something that people may not realize is that the different control rooms I've seen, it's either they don't always overlook the playing field. Sometimes they're back in a room tucked away.
Sure.
Sometimes, or which one do you prefer though? I mean, you're getting used to it now, you're in your fourth year. Do you like kind of seeing the field as opposed to being in that room? Or?
It's cool. I mean, I was at Georgia for 11 years. I never saw a football game, which is crazy. And I went back like I think my first year when I was with the Buccaneers, and it felt strange. Like even just being a fan at Georgia and being out in the bowl, it was like a whole different experience for me. So now, you know, being at the Bucs and seeing like the field and stuff, we've talked about it, like maybe moving up top, whatever, but there's a lot of things that you kind of have to look for and catch in the field. And even at Georgia, like I had a spotter or someone out front that was telling me like there's a flag in the play.
Okay.
We're coming back from break, stuff like that. Now I'm responsible for that. So not only producing the show, but I'm also responsible for those things. So I think I prefer to see the field. And I think I've gotten pretty good at like avoiding the distractions a little bit and trying to stay focused. But I mean, it's live entertainment, so you never really know what's going to happen.
Yeah. So that's a big difference from year one to year four is your comfortability. Just looking out
absolutely.
There right now. Yeah. And sometimes I think there's even control rooms. It's like a mix. I'm trying to remember where I saw that though, where it was, you know, it's some of the people that sit in the control room may not be able to see over the field, but there's definitely a glass wall on that side of the control room.
Sure.
So you can go back and forth, but you're really, like you're saying, you're trusting the cameraman, whatever's coming in when you're back in the control room to be able to see kind of what's going on.
Yeah, and I have some
monitors.
I mean, Dan Roy, great engineer. We love him at the Bucks. He hooked me up with some monitors in front of me, and I can, you know, put what I want on them, preview programs, cameras, you know, even other things that I may be looking for as far as, like, out-of-town scores, like other games going on. So, you know, I have pretty good ADD, like I'm all over the place, so it's nice to have those monitors. But again, being able to see the field for me is a huge advantage, so it definitely helps me a lot.
The different people that may be listening to this podcast, whether it's you know, people that are in your industry, whether it's professional or college, sometimes we actually get a lot of questions at Daktronics from people in high school starting out. You know, they're kind of interested in these types of things. With all the experience you've had of all the different levels, is there any advice or anything you'd give to them or other people that are in college production right now as to what to keep in mind?
Yeah, I think the biggest thing for me has always been networking. I was fortunate enough to work at Georgia for so long. It's really cool to see a lot of the students that I had over time are, you know, some of them aren't even working in sports, and they worked on our sports productions, and they're working in film now, or, you know, they're doing special effects for some movie company or whatever. And I'm still trying to stay in contact with them because you never know where the road's going to lead you. But even now, it's like coming back and seeing you. It's like such a long time we've known each other. It's like full circle kind of thing. So networking's big for me, certainly working as much as you can in events, and then trying to do as many positions as you possibly can. I mean, I think a lot of people try to focus on what they think they love to do, like maybe it's camera or replay or whatever. Oh, yeah. But you might find you like something else, or you turn into someone like me who like to do it all, but now I'm like overseeing it all. So it just kind of gives you the opportunity to kind of see different paths and where you might go. But the more events you can work, that definitely the experience is going to help you a lot.
Yeah, man. And kind of listening to your answer there, I picked out something that maybe always kind of wonders when you were at Georgia, you know, helping to make sure the room was staffed, whether it is camera, instant replay, stats, whatever it is. Usually turnover is always a bad word, right? But when it comes with students that you're trying to keep in there, there's a lot of turnover. So how is that almost, I wouldn't say, is it maybe every year, every 2 years you'd have to look to essentially swap out your personnel and the challenges that has?
I remember at Georgia it was a pretty big challenge because, you know, you're dealing with students for the majority of it. So, you know, I would try to hire as young as I possibly can, knowing that I'm going to have them for a few years before they graduate. But certainly they didn't have the experience as like maybe the juniors and seniors that might have been on the staff, you know. So I always took it as like kind of a training, almost like I was a professor, you know, trying to bring in a new class every year. They may not be jumping on the camera or jumping on the graphics, but they'd be shadowing someone that's been doing it for a year or two. So it gave them the opportunity to kind of, before they got thrown in the fire, kind of see other people doing it, and then certainly take it in. Like I say, you just sit in a control room one time and seeing like all the chaos, like we call it controlled chaos, but it's pretty intense. And if you haven't been around that environment before and we could throw you in the fire, it can be pretty overwhelming. So that was just kind of how I've always taken it on with students. With the Bucks now, there was definitely a staff in place. So that was a whole new experience for me, like already having people in place. Now, we got new equipment, new control rooms, so there was definitely a learning curve for everybody, including myself.
Yep.
So we had to kind of figure out who fit what roles because everything changed. I mean, the control room that was in place was there for a long time, and so every piece of equipment in that room was brand new, and a lot of it was brand new for me too. So you know, that first year trying to figure out, okay, this person's really good at this, let's keep them there, or maybe they're better at this position. But in professional sports, or at least in our big market, we're fortunate enough. We have like spring training down there. We have basketball, baseball. So a lot of the crew that we have kind of float those other events. The biggest challenge for me is when they cross over. So we start the season, hockey may be finishing, baseball, if the Rays go to the playoffs, potentially. You know, so we have those couple weekends where it kind of gets sketchy, like who we're going to have as far as on the crew. But, you know, for the production we have now and how intense it is and just all the working parts, it's good to have the same crew for every event. But at Georgia, definitely the turnover was a challenge, especially all those events. You know, it felt like every night I was working an event. If it wasn't basketball, it was baseball. And then especially the weekends hit. And you got football on Saturday and trying to focus on like the big show, which is football usually. You know, it was definitely challenging.
Absolutely. Yeah. So that kind of took care of my next question, was how is that different than being with the Bucks and not having students constantly around?
But yeah, I mean, it's great because a lot of these guys are, you know, floating other productions and they're bringing ideas into our show. So
yeah,
you know, so I've always been open to like, if you have an idea, bring it to our production because they get the advantage to go to baseball and basketball all the time. I don't always get to go to all the events. So, you know, they may work in camera at basketball one night and see something really cool, and we bring it to the Bucks and try to do the same thing. So
awesome. That's good. So you mentioned with being with the Bucks now, you have your 10 main events, but they're really big events. When the NFL season isn't going on and you're not busy coming up to South Dakota to see how cold and snowy it is, what are some of the other things you guys kind of do in the off season? Do you have events that you help out with at the stadium? Or
So the word off season is funny because I you know, coming to the Bucks, I was like, okay, this is going to be awesome. Like, you know, it's definitely slower paced than like college, because college you only have 2 months, and that's the summer, to really catch your breath. with professional sports, or at least with the football NFL, as soon as the season's over, unfortunately we didn't make the playoffs, but you know, hopefully mm-hmm. that'll carry over a few extra months. But you know, you really just kind of take a minute, regroup, like, hey, what worked, what didn't work, and then we're already jumping into it. So we're already trying to plan for we usually do an NFL draft party. We do have other events that come in there, not just Buccaneers events. So we don't really – we have a little bit to do with it, so we definitely assist with those other productions. But I just feel like there's always something going on, and the biggest thing is we're already planning for next season. So you know, as soon as we get those budgets, it's like, okay, what's the next thing? What are we going to try to push this next season? And then you know, we're waiting on the schedule to come out so we can start crewing those events, and then we got training camp that hits. So it's crazy to think that like there's really no off season.
Yeah, I was gonna say that's what athletes always say too, right? There's no off season. Yeah, as soon as work is done, you get ready for the next. So when it comes to like spring training and those types of things, how does that vary? I gotta imagine it's a lot less, I don't know, I'd say intense than an actual regular season NFL game, or how do you treat kind of these varying levels of
so
is it a full production crew every time
so training camp really we don't have a whole lot to do with it. It ties up our organization because we're putting on practices for fans, so it's hard for us to meet as a group and have meetings and stuff like that. So that's the biggest challenge for me, is I'm still in like let's get ready for the season mode, and they all have to kind of really focus on those practices. So we kind of switch gears and work on things that we don't need our full organization to kind of get through. But then we get to preseason. In preseason, we treat very much like a regular season. We'll hold a few of our cards, you know, back, like our big opens or stuff like that. But really, it's kind of our time to fine tune everything, just like the players before the season starts. And then we get to game one, and you know, we're ready to go with all of the bells and whistles that we, you know, have in our back pocket. So
yeah, it's kind of a good leadway into kind of one of these wrap up questions that I like to throw at you, is that you're going into your fourth year?
Or yes.
So you're going into your fourth year. Without saying you're going to give anything away, what are you looking forward to the most about this upcoming season?
Really building on our foundation we have now. This is the first season that we're hopefully going to carry over our same graphics package. And every season in the past, we kind of started scratch and rebuilt the show from ground up again. And I felt like this last season we finally clicked, as not just graphics wise, but crew and just kind of understanding the flow of the show. We really opened things up with our rundown this year. We created flex breaks, which allowed us to kind of scratch an entire break, and we call it make it a party. So if we score a touchdown, you know, certainly keeping that energy in the stadium, and then just giving fans what they want. You know, if they're at the game, they can't see highlights from around the league. So we really push around the league highlights. We have a person in the control room, a host basically, and she's with another producer, and they're basically cutting together red zone highlights.
Okay.
And we'll cut to that throughout the game. And again, really kind of giving fans what they want. But going back to kind of the question, what was the question again? Sorry.
No, it's about like what about this season are you looking forward to the most? Is there any like new bells and whistles? I know you say you like to save some and surprise fans, but is there anything kind of along those lines?
So we really, our biggest thing is we introduced augmented reality this year.
Okay.
And I'm really excited about it. This first season, I was really hoping to kind of push it and do more with it. We really got it kind of installed last minute. Didn't get a whole lot of time to kind of test it and really let our ideas kind of come to life. So this next season, or this season coming up, the whole off season is really going to focus on the augmented reality and things that we've already done. But you know, we do the first and 10 lines, but we did a lot of like milestones, like on the field. You see a lot of stuff on NBC Sunday Night Football.
Okay.
We did a little bit of that this season, where we did coming back from break, you'd see like giant score and logos in the field, and we'd kind of zoom past it back to the play. And we got a couple of, again, hidden things that I don't want to talk about, but some ideas with augmented reality that we really want to push this season. So I'm excited about that.
That's cool. Yeah, I would say I have to find a reason to get down there then and check one of
those
out. So maybe to wrap this up, you are in town here in Brookings for the user group, user seminar. You've been back for this. Is this your second time to that?
Yep. Yeah.
So you were here once and you came back again. What about this made you want to come back? Because we know it's not the weather.
Yeah. So I think my first time back was after my first season with the Bucks. So
okay.
For me, it was just like, wow, I just got through my first season in the NFL. Let's go up to Dactronics and see what new stuff's kind of like, what we've done with the equipment that we just got. Coming back up here this year, certainly just want to see like the new products you guys have. Really excited about, I think it's called Live Clips.
Okay.
You know, we have Crossfire and, that's great. You know, it does playback with clips and stuff like that, but seeing what your guys' live clips can do, I can see how that could really push our show, you know, being able to trigger same stuff we're doing with the Crossfire currently, but with Dactronics equipment, you know, triggering all the other DAC boards at the same time. So we're not trying to time things up with, you know, our operators like 3, 2, 1, everybody presses the same button at the same time. But yeah, just coming back up, and especially with the NFL guys being here, you know, it's always great. We only get together like once or twice a year. It's usually like IDEA, NFL meetings, and just kind of hearing their struggles, what works for them, what doesn't work for them, and just getting outside the box. You know, there's all kinds of other productions out there, especially the NFL, and just hearing like what's going on. You know, what's the cool things you guys are doing, and then seeing how Dactronics, you know, kind of brings that all together.
Yeah, so it's kind of, I hear the term a lot, idea hacking. So it's when people get together and say, what are you using at your event? What are you using at your event? Because it's not like you guys, your teams may be in competition, but you're not fighting for the people to come to your stadiums at the exact same time.
Yeah, with the with all of us producers, I mean, we're certainly on the same page. Like, we all want to put on the best show possible. Yep. Within the organizations, you know, we certainly want to be the best in the league. So with that, I mean, we're not up here trying to like compete with each other. We're trying to bounce ideas off each other, but certainly want to go back and keep pushing our shows. And I think it's great for other teams to see our show, and then certainly us to see their show. So I was fortunate enough with the NFL this year. They sent all the producers to one away game that wasn't a away game for us. And so I actually went to the New England Patriots and saw their show and critiqued their show. And we had a conference call afterward. I put together a PowerPoint. And I thought it was awesome, you know, being able to kind of go to a show in our same league, but just two different opponents, and go in as a fan and kind of critique from the experience from getting out of your car all the way to going home, you know, what was great, what was bad. And came back from that with several ideas. I'm sure people, I think the Philadelphia Eagles came to our game, and I think they had a set of folder on their desktop that they're going to go back and steal a bunch of ideas. So it's just cool to kind of go out and see other stuff. But again, coming up here and just seeing guys face-to-face, we don't really get to see each other that much. So
yeah. So when you're going to those games, is it, it's a mutual understanding? You're not like a secret shopper going
no,
in there?
Yeah, no. We have a conference call prior, and we talk about, you know, what do you want me to look for? You know, for example, with the Patriots was they have some really unique displays on the side of their stadium, like kind of built, like kind of back within the stands.
Okay.
But you can only see them from the side of the stadium. So like from my side, I could look across and see them, but they didn't use them a whole lot. So coming up with ideas, maybe put stats on there, stuff like that.
Okay.
And then just, kind of having that initial kickoff. We created a Bucks Beach this year in our South Plaza area outside the gate, where we got sand and made it kind of a beach theme. And so that was one of our points is, you know, you're coming in here. Can you please go check that out and give us feedback, like what works, what doesn't work? Do we have enough shade because it's hot and sunny?
Yeah.
Maybe put in a waterfall out there, you know, crazy ideas like that. But and I think it was great. I think both parties really got a lot out of it. You know, they were Abby with the Patriots was really open to hearing my suggestions and what worked, what didn't. And same with the Eagles when they, you know, had our conference call was, you know, hey, we really like this, or, you know, what if you tried doing something like this? So it just helps pushing everybody around the league to do better.
That's awesome. Yeah. So do you ever go in the control room, or you're strictly like a fan the entire time?
With Abby, I got lucky and I got up there a little early, and she gave me a little tour behind the scenes or whatever. But then after maybe an hour before kickoff, I was on my own. So it was, you know, go walk around, go look at concessions, get food. How was the food? You know, was there long lines to sit down, watch the show, critique the video board production? Were there some opportunities where I could, you know, maybe entice the crowd more, you know, what worked, what didn't? So
awesome. All right, well, that's about all I got, Mike. I don't want to keep you too much longer from the sessions going on down there. So I appreciate you coming up here, taking the time out to be on the podcast here, and coming up to Brookings and hanging out with us.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me.
Thank you for listening to the Dactronics Experience Podcast. For more information, visit www.dactronics.com.